everyone, welcome to episode 7 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new game every week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric, never sings with his diaphragm, Krause. Eric, how's it going?
I feel like that's not true. You can't say I never do it. I just don't do it when Bryce is here, so he complains about it.
Well, that's the joke, is that we all work for the student newspaper, and Eric sometimes breaks into song. You know what I mean? We'll be like,
as
listening to music
does.
Or something. As one does. And then Bryce almost always says, Eric, sing with your diaphragm.
Yeah, because I think it really pisses me off.
Pisses him off, I mean.
Do you want to give our listeners a little tune?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, I figured I'd try. We have our very first returning guest today, all the way from episode 1 of this show, Bryce Parr, the bass god.
How's it going?
You didn't even come up with a new nickname for him?
Bass god is such a good nickname. It's a good nickname. It's tried and true. I come up with a new nickname every year for you. I didn't want
to
throw a whole new
too
thing.
Too much work to go.
Too much work, you know what I mean? Plus, we're a little behind schedule today.
I wonder why.
Anyway, so we're just going to get right into it. We have a really weird episode today. But
it's
before
not that
we get,
weird.
Well, it's a little different.
It's unconventional.
But before we get there, we have to do the most important, the most vital, the most entertaining part of the show, the hot take corner. Bryce, you've abstained from having a hot take, so I brought one in. And we talked about it a little bit, so we're just going to say this is your hot take.
Sure.
Well, actually, you think the opposite, so whatever. But my hot take is that tater tots are way better than fries, and they should just be the standard side.
I also agree with this.
Yeah.
I don't know if they should be the standard side. I think what makes tater tots good is they're not the standard side.
Okay.
So you get them much more sparingly than you get fries.
That's just wrong.
No.
I could eat a mountain of tater tots, and I want them to be the standard side, or at least have an option. Like, everyone should have tater tots.
Oh, yeah, they should always be an option at a restaurant.
But you can have so many different kinds of fries. That's what makes fries great.
I mean, they're made of the same thing. You can literally, whatever you do with fries, you can also do with tater tots.
Oh, yeah, well, we're all in agreement here that potato is probably the best food ever. You literally make so much stuff out of a potato.
You could live off potatoes.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But that doesn't mean it's the best food ever. I mean, yeah.
What beats potato as the best food ever?
Lobster? I don't know.
Lobster?
That's a weird one to pull
lobster.
Up.
Lobster?
I love lobster. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you can only have a lobster with lobster.
Can't live off
okay, but if you could,
shred it.
No,
put it
that's
in
why
something.
You have sides like
potatoes.
You know what's better? You know what's better than lobster?
The fries.
Shrimp.
No.
Nah,
you can
I
do
don't
so
agree
much.
With that.
Shrimp.
That's
a
wrong.
Shrimp is perhaps a sea tater tot?
No, definitely not.
You're digging a hole here now.
Just imagine eating.
This is where you're losing me.
You're eating some really good scrimp. You know what I mean? You have it, and then on the side, some tater tots. That's a meal right there.
I don't know. Seafood with tater tots just doesn't go together.
What do they normally serve as a side for seafood? I don't really eat
rice.
It enough. Rice?
Yeah, rice or some kind of vegetable.
Oh, all right.
I mean, red potatoes is pretty good with seafood.
Okay.
With a little butter.
Yeah, you'd have like a
baked...
So
you can
you'd
eat
have
a red
like
potato,
a
why can't
potato.
You eat a fucking tater tot?
No, because you'd have like a baked potato with it, not a fried potato. Like,
okay.
Some like kind of breaded and fried potato, like fries.
Around here,
or...
people probably still ask for fries because that's all anyone...
Well, yeah.
Well, fish and chips is
plus,
like...
Plus, I don't know, you're only
that's
getting...
fish, though. It's not shellfish.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a seafood.
Plus, you're pairing fried with fried, usually, if you're getting, like, a fried cod or something, or some kind of fish fry.
Yeah. Well,
so
what if it's a fried shrimp?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
That's different.
Yeah.
We weren't talking shrimp, though. We started on lobster.
I'd eat fries with lobster.
Yeah.
Well, tater tots, specifically. Oh, but anyways, the whole point of my saying this is that I'm going to start... This podcast, once we're done with this, I'm starting a restaurant. That's going to be my next business adventure. It's going to be tater tot themed. I've already got the name picked out. It's Tots, 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 which is... I think the name alone is going to make this a wild success. The problem is I don't cook. Eric, you have some kitchen experience, so you're going to be my head chef.
Yeah, I have 4 years of kitchen experience cooking a variety of things for a restaurant.
Tater tots?
Yeah, I know how to cook tater tots.
Well, so that's what I'm
saying.
Bake
them and fry them. I know how to cook tater tots.
We're going to have a whole menu of tater tot things. You know what I mean? We can have some fancy tater tots, like tater tots and caviar. You know what I mean?
No.
Paired with a good red wine.
With red wine?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is that what you eat with caviar? I don't know.
I'm sure you could, but I just don't like red wine.
Just like some
and
chili
just this
cheese.
Combination.
Chili cheese tater tots?
Yeah, this flavor profile. We got to work on our flavor profiles because you just are naming off things and you don't know how they taste together.
A euro with tater tots in it?
That would be pretty good,
yeah.
Actually.
A burger? You know what I don't think I've ever had? They put like cheese curds in burgers. They should put tater tots in burgers.
I think that would be pretty bland.
You could just get a burger with tater tots and put over yourself.
Yeah, I guess. But all right, well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We'll have a variety of burgers, but you can't get them without tater tots. That's the whole point. Is that every
so you
meal.
Guys like not have any fries at all?
No, serve? We're a fucking anti-fry cool. establishment.
I'm gonna open up a restaurant right across from you guys called Fry Guys.
I think you might get sued by Five Guys.
Yeah. Also, that's right, just not it. As good of a name as Tots Tots Tots. Can you kickstart a restaurant? Has anyone ever done that? Because
I'm
sure,
sure
someone's done that.
We're gonna kickstart
a location
to get some capital funding for this thing.
All right.
Our location? Yeah. Oh, we're starting out as a chain. We're putting 46. We're putting a Tots 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 in every major city around the. Around
so
the
which
United
one
States.
Is gonna be? Which one works. Is gonna be the first Tots Tots Tots?
Oh, well, we're from Wisconsin, so you know what I mean. We gotta have the hometown Wisco Tots Tots Tots. Not in Menominee. All right.
Where are we putting
hot
it
dish or casserole?
I feel like Madison. Oh, casserole. If anyone, that's another rule. If you come into Tots 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 and you order a hot dish, we fucking throw tater tots at you.
I'm with that rule. Yeah. I like that rule. It's gonna get real messy real fast though.
Yeah. Well, do people outside of Minnesota call it a hot dish?
I don't know. They're
I think
wrong.
There's quite a few people in Wisconsin that call it a hot dish.
Yeah, but I feel like they have roots in Minnesota.
Probably, but you're still alienating half of your crowd.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, I'm just saying, Tots 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 is going to stand for something, you know what I mean? And it's going to stand for fucking casserole. That's going to be another staple, though, is the tater tot casserole. We're going to have a great tater tot casserole.
All right, I'll be good working on recipes for one.
Yeah. Like I said, just think about anything that you like and just add tater tots. That's it. Pizza with tater tots on it? Sounds good.
Sounds heavy.
Yeah, a little bit. Anyways, that's enough tot talk. I think that's going to be a new segment of the
show.
Should
we should we have a new podcast called Tot Talk?
Yeah.
Where all it is just talking about tots.
I think I'd be more passionate about that.
Like
than
the food tots, not like, it's like children.
No, that was another staple of the restaurant is that we're going to have a good kids meal and it's going to be called Tots for Tots.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like
we're having the Cheesecake Factory of menus for tater tots. Just way too many items and they're
like
all mediocre.
Cheesecake?
What?
Is that a thing? Do they like only serve cheesecake?
No, Cheesecake Factory's menu is like 80 items long and they're all just mediocre. They don't do any one thing good. Even their cheesecake, not that great.
Eric, listen. That's your job is to make the food good. I'm just the idea guy.
Okay, I'm
going to
ixnay about all of these. It's going to end up being like a fancy restaurant, and only one dish is going to actually serve tots.
Oh, so we're just tots by name?
Yeah. So people just be super confused.
Well, I guess
that
we
one
have, like,
dish
a
should be great. Though.
You know, some people are named from like their signature dish. You know what
I
mean?
So our signature dish will be our tater tot casserole.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, there are certain things that shouldn't go on a tater tot casserole, though. Here's
like
the
what?
Thing.
Like
people always put corn in there, and I like corn, but it needs to go on the side. I want a side of the corn. I don't like it in my tater tot casserole.
Well,
green
we'll
beans,
make two.
Green beans are good. You can put green
one
beans
with
in there.
Corn, one without.
Okay.
For the weirdos like you who don't like the corn in it.
I don't know. Like, it just kind of taints the experience a little bit. I just want it on the side. I like corn. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I'm not really that big of a fan of casseroles in the first place.
Oof. Why? They're so easy to make. They're tasty.
They're easy to make, but like, they're just a mashup of flavors. It's like you put all the food into
blenders.
Well,
it is what you make it. I mean, if you don't like some flavors, you just find something else to put in there.
Yeah, but I like
tasting mediocre casseroles.
I don't know. We'll figure out.
Yeah, that's your job. Listen, Eric. I'm holding
your
throat here.
What am I getting paid for this?
Whatever. I'm going to find out what the standard payment for a head chef is, and you're going to get paid approximately $4 less.
And then schedule.
$4.
And then schedule my time to come in an hour later, and then just tell me to come in an hour earlier, then I'll be on time.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Oh, the schedule will just always be like a little different for you.
Yeah, because then I'll be actually on time. I just won't know.
Anyways, this is a gaming podcast. We should probably get to talk about games. Bryce, maybe. You brought in a weird game today. What is your game?
Well, it's not a weird game. It's just an unconventional game.
It's not a video game.
Yeah. Magic the Gathering tabletop card game. Trading card game.
Well, I was gonna get there, but you beat me to it. I guess
you just said, what did you bring in?
Well, no, but you started to explain the game. That's my job.
I think you need to figure out a better way to either phrase this or let the person explain the game, because literally every guest we've had explains the game when you ask them, and then you yell at them because you're like, that's my job.
You was all get briefed t-shirt? On the show.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. You can do what you want, but I do have a preparation. So I'm going to tell you to describe the game in 6 words, and then I'm going to describe the game a little bit. So what are your 6 words to describe this game?
Well, I guess I could just go with the colors. You got black, blue, green, red, white, and then I don't know.
What was our last word? We said
fun. We said it was fun.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't nerd.
Yeah. It was
oh,
nerd,
you
yeah.
said nerd. I said fun.
Anyways. So I created a description, and the funny part is I'm not even sure if this is totally accurate. I'm pretty new to this game, so we'll see how it goes. Magic the Gathering is a competitive trading card game. Its gameplay revolves around lowering your opponent's health to zero, which is done mainly by setting creatures on the field. These creatures are paid for by using lands, which you lay every turn. There are also sorcery cards, counters, equipment, and various other cards that make up the game's mechanics. That's the gist. Kinda? Yeah?
I was like, I guess it kinda. It's very much the gist for how you play Magic.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, you play more lands than anybody yeah. I've ever yeah. seen.
You play a straight ramp deck to just try to get out a big monster, but by the time you get it out, you're dead because everyone's so much makes so much quicker decks than you.
Every other card brings out more land except yeah. for one card, which yeah. there's like two of.
Yeah. So I'm pretty new to this game, and almost every deck that I have is green or green-blue. And the entire concept is that I'm putting out as many lands as possible so that the hope would be that I can pay for something.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's just me putting out a lot of lands that do nothing.
Yeah.
Actually, something kinda, never comes.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious. Bryce, did you start out playing like this as well? Because this is how me and my brother started playing out Magic very much like this, where we thought straight mana ramp was like the way to go because then you get big monsters.
Oh, no. I started with counters.
Okay.
I was mono blue until... Everyone hated me after the first 2 weeks of playing yeah. mono blue.
So we should probably outline a little bit like what each color kind of is in the game, because they all kind of have like, I don't know what you want to call it, trope strategies.
Yeah.
They have like mechanics that are kind of built into their color.
Yeah.
So red is, I'll let you guys, you're the experts. What is the red in the game?
Red is all about like quick damage. The monsters you put out are going to be like, they'll be able to attack the turn you play them often. It's haste, right?
That's yeah, haste.
Burn spells, stuff like that.
Yeah, shit that you can just do direct damage without like worrying about it.
Then you got blue, which is kind of like the polar opposite. They try and cast powerful spells to control the board, control the game, counter opponents, stop them from doing what they do until you can do what you really want to do. You got white, which white's kind of in between.
Yeah.
Because they have really good mid-range, but mm-hmm. then there's also great control spells in white.
Yeah.
So... You can go both ways with that.
Yeah, white's
like
kind
of life gain in white too. Or like
yeah, that's how a lot of people classify it, because like that's kind of the base of what white can do. But I mean, you have control stuff with like prison cards, and you also have big monsters in there with angels.
Some of the strongest board wipes too are in white. You'd think it'd be in black, which black does have some, but dang, I mean, settle the wreckage.
Yeah,
everything's gone. Oh, what else? There's
black.
Green. Well, black.
You brought it
black
up.
Black is. So if blue is board control with like countering spells and bouncing creatures, black is just straight kill everything.
Yeah.
Control, powerful flying creatures usually. Lots of ways to mess with your own health too. You can like take 5 damage, but then you have a 2-drop 5/5 on the board.
That has a lot
death
of risk
touch
reward.
In black. That shit's annoying.
Yeah.
Where
well,
you
the theme
can,
of black is death.
Fucking death touch is annoying because you can just drop like. A really cheap 1/1, which is like, you know, 1 damage, 1 shield or whatever for anyone who doesn't know how the game.
Shield.
Whatever you want to
call
it. Power and toughness. Anyway. And so it's just, and it has death touch, so anything that it fucking touches dies. And that's, it's a fucking, whatever, it's stupid. It's
you're just upset because you've been rapping for 8 turns to get your big guy out.
Yeah.
And someone plays a 1/1 with death touch and kills it.
1-drop, 1/1, skittering heartstopper.
Yeah. I got to be on that side, though. We went to the most recent draft, and I built a green-black deck, and I had some death touches in there, and it was great, because I feel like it kind of, like, it stalls the game a little bit, because it's like,
it
fucking attack me, dude, I dare you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't want to swing until that thing's gone.
Yeah.
Golgari, the green-black is actually one of the top decks in the standard right now. Did we skip a color?
Yeah, we haven't talked
green.
About green yet.
Green. Let's talk about green.
Mana ramp.
Get into the, mana ramp, big creatures. There's also Stompy, lots of mid-range, so around turn 4, they'll pop off with a wide board.
Yeah. I don't really know. Does green do anything else other than ramp and huge creatures? Stompy.
That's the only way I've ever really played it.
Yeah, it doesn't really control well. There's some life gain. I don't know. I haven't really seen any different types in the past.
I don't know if this is... Well, in the new set, I remember if these are the black or the green cards, but they have that new mechanic where you take... You like, take... damage based on the how many creatures are in your like your graveyard, and you like deal that different
way. There's undergrowth or
something. Yeah, undergrowth. Yeah, and I don't know. I can't remember if that's specifically a black or a green mechanic, but
it's a Golgari mechanic, so it's both.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Green though, I'd say is probably the best pairing color.
Yeah, because they have great card draw. Great lasting powers. I mean, you got a big blocker in the way to soak up damage and gain life. So,
So let's rewind a little bit. I'm the most new to Magic. You guys kind of got me into it. You were like, hey, we're playing this nerdy fucking game. You should play with us. And I said, well, all right, fine. And so, yeah, I used to think that Magic was kind of for, like, the nerdiest of the nerds. And then I started playing it, and I found out that I was right, and it is. anyway, so I want to know your history with the game. Where'd you start? What got you into it? That whole thing. Eric, you go first.
So I started playing Magic, I don't even know, maybe freshman year of high school or eighth grade, when my brother just came home. He's like, hey, my friend has been playing this game or whatever, and he's like, so we're just gonna get some cards and try it out. And we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. we would make like five color decks. Like, you just throw cards in to make a deck. You just throw cards and be like, this card's cool, it does awesome stuff, and you just throw it in your deck. And so our decks would be just have no synergy amongst anything. It'd be a lot of individual cards that were really good, but like they didn't work with the rest of the deck. So basically, it was just based on luck who would win at first, because it just whoever pulled the better thing. And then before my brother left for Japan, this was still early when we were in the Magic. We did this thing because I had just a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh cards that I just collected because I never played Yu-Gi-Oh. And we did this weird jank ass thing. I don't even remember. We came up with this whole rule set that introduced Yu-Gi-Oh cards into Magic.
What?
Yeah. And so like there would be just the collective pile of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and you'd have each would have your deck, and then every turn you could draw a Yu-Gi-Oh card. And then they have like stars at the top or something, and I think that was like their mana cost or something. And then they have super janky rules for how they're played because it's in Yu-Gi-Oh. And so it doesn't work with Magic. But then you'd play them, and it would just cause absolute chaos for how we'd have to interpret them. Like, there's this one card that I don't remember. It was just super good in Magic in our rule set, but it's a terrible Yu-Gi-Oh card. And so you'd play it, and it would end up, like, giving you, like, multiple turns and looping. Just, like, I don't even remember how. It was just some janky rules. And so, like, we kept just trying to get that card. And so, yeah, and then after that, we started getting... My brother left for Japan, and then, like, we started getting more serious into Magic, and then we just end up Skyping and stuff to play. But then we'd actually figure out, like, how to play Magic and make actual decks and have synergy in decks. And so I just remember the next funniest time was we learned that speed was, like, optimal ways to win. And so, like, it just became a race to make the fastest deck to beat people. And, like, me, my brother, and his friend all made Infect decks at the same time without talking to each other. And so he had this other friend, Chris, at the time.
So you should explain Infect.
Oh, Infect is basically it's poison counters. And so what you could do with poison counters is instead of getting the person's life to zero, you only have to get the person to have 10 poison counters. So basically you only have to do half the damage. So basically with poison counters is you'll play a creature with Infect, buff it a bunch of times, and hit them once, and they're dead. And so we all made this deck, these Infect decks, and only his one friend, Chris, apparently didn't get the memo that we were all doing this, even though we all did it at the same time. And so, like, he was just the only one without it, and so he just was completely outpaced. But then there's the huge downside to Effect, which is why we all moved away from it, is once you run out of ammo, you're done. So it's really hard in group games. And then after a while, we kind of got bored with just making these legacy decks, which are basically use any card. And then we started getting more into Standard and Modern, and now we're very much into Commander. And we play every week where we have a themed Commander. So, like, this week... tomorrow I'm playing themed commander as Elder Dragon. So we each have to have a commander that's an Elder Dragon and make our decks around that. And they're usually super janky decks because now we're a lot less competitive about it and it's more for the lols and just doing just ridiculous combinations. So, like, if you could just make, like, some janky ass infinite combo happen, like, that's just more fun to do. It's less about winning. It's still a lot about winning, but it's less about it and more about winning in a funny way.
So you guys are playing like digital Magic, right?
Yeah. So my brother, like I mentioned, he lives in Japan. Very hard to play a card game where the other person lives all the way across the world. So we use this website called Cockatrice, which is this free Magic software, which is great. It has like the entire deck library of all the cards in Magic. And so it's entirely free too. It's a little bit janky, but it's free.
Is that like officially like are they like allowed to do that?
No.
All right.
But yeah, they don't get any money for it, so they can't really be sued or shut down.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So. So Bryce, what's your background with Magic? When did you get into this?
I started about 2 years ago. My drummer and I just went into the shop and grabbed one of those welcome decks.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah. After a while, we got sick of how weak those decks were, so we picked up a bunch of packs and started deck building ourselves, and I was really into the blue for a while, just control until I can throw down a Cryptic Serpent or something fat. People hated that, so I had to start branching out. We played basically budget modern for the longest time, probably for the last like year and a half. Recently we started playing more Commander too, but I found an affinity for black. I absolutely love controlling the board and then just swinging away with tiny creatures that win me the game.
Yeah, you're the Commander deck that you play now, because we've all just kind of gotten into Commander a little bit. It's fucking annoying. Like it's actually so frustrating to play against. And the only reason it's like all right is because when we play these group games, usually someone else handles it, because my deck has there's nothing I can do basically. But it revolves around that one dragon dude or whatever.
You have an elder dragon for yours.
Yeah.
Vivictus is Mahdi the Dire.
And it's just the worst. Like every time he swings, you have to every time he swings, everyone has to sacrifice a character, right? Is that how
every time he swings, I get to choose for every other player what they have to sacrifice. I have to sacrifice as well. And then you take from the top of your library to replace whatever is sacrificed. So yeah, I just fill my deck with fat bombs, mm-hmm. sacrifice a token, and you guys actually.
Yeah.
So I
great
actually,
deck.
It's fun.
It's interesting because I started out playing with you guys, and I feel like you were playing like, I don't want to call it higher level Magic, but you weren't just fucking around with like five colors or whatever.
We knew what we were doing.
So basically, you guys kind of set me up. I never had the problem where I was just throwing random stuff into a deck. Usually, I was just like, hey, you should help me build this or whatever. So I started out with I made a dinosaur deck, like a red white dinosaur deck. And that deck doesn't really do anything. It actually doesn't really have... I feel like that deck doesn't really have any sort of, like, win condition at all. It's just kind of like a...
It's just an aggro deck, yeah.
I'd say it's mid-range.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, throwing down dinos or whatever. It's fun to play. It's whatever. And then I started playing a blue-green deck that was... didn't really have a win strategy. It was mostly just based around, like, getting lands down. And then hopefully getting out this card called Grun, which was like a 20/20. As long as I like threw him once, it didn't really have a great win condition. And now we're all playing Commander, and I play with a Tatiava Commander, whose thing is that every time you lay down a land, you get a life and you draw a card. And I feel like it's actually kind of annoying for me to play because it has like a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm laying down these cards that are like, you get to lay down another land, or like it's all these things that are happening at once. So I'm like, I have to have like a fucking checklist that's like, oh, I laid down a land. What's happening now? Oh, I get a life. I draw a card. Oh, I get whatever. You know what I mean?
It affects the whole board, too. Yeah. Sometimes we'll be sitting there and be like, wait, so I played a land. What enchantments do you have out again?
Yeah.
and so it gets really hectic really quick. And I'm curious to know what other sort of commander strategies. I guess the whole basis around commander is that you just pick a legendary and then you build an entire deck around it. There's 100 cards. You only get to have one of each, like one of the same name or whatever.
We should describe Commander and then go into some of the details, I think.
So Commander is you pick a legendary creature, and it says in like its byline what it is. So you pick a legendary creature. Usually legendary creatures have some sort of ability or something, and then they do something or affect the board in some way. Usually those are the ones you want to choose to be your commander. And so basically what Commander is, you pick them, and then they sit out, and you can basically play them at any time.
They sit in the command zone.
Yeah, they sit in the command zone. Yeah. And you can play them at any time, and then anytime you want, anytime you have the mana for it. And then if they die, they go back to the command zone, and they get a commander tax, which is you have to pay 2 extra mana to get them. And so usually you'll build your whole deck around them, and you can only have one card of the same name in the whole deck besides like basic lands. And so you have to basically, to make a good commander deck, is find, if you want a good synergy, usually people will just find a bunch of cards that all do the same thing but have different names. And then you want to have synergy tied in with your commander.
Well, I would say that synergy and commander is a little different because, you know, in standard or modern, you're going to have four ofs for some cards that you really need. But in commander, you're really stuck because you can only have one of each card. So yeah. They're not going to be doing similar things, but they're going to be helping you win with your commander. So I found that, like with Vivictus, what I'm usually trying to do is just flood the board with fat things. So mm-hmm. I have things to tutor those fat cards to the top of my deck. I have things to get me a land grab so I can play Vivictus ASAP, and I have things to protect Vivictus when he's on the field.
Yeah.
They don't all really do the same thing, but they are helping towards a common goal.
Yeah.
And
this is the problem with Commander also, is there's so many different things you could do. Because I have Aminatu, the Fate Shifter, which basically, so a lot of cards in my deck are Scry One, or Draw Two, or Look at the Top Card, or they all do a lot of very similar things, just so I could keep doing the same thing until I get the cards I need.
Yeah, my entire deck literally just revolves around, you get to play fucking seven lands this turn or whatever, and every time you play a land, something happens or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of it has to do with, like, token creation, which is, like, every time I play a land, a token's created, which is cool for, like, flooding the board with stuff. It's all land stuff. And so, like, obviously with my commander, every time I lay down a land, I get a life, so it's, like, life gain. There's all sorts of fucking cogs in the wheel.
Yeah.
I kind of want to talk about the group hug strategy that I stumbled across, Feldegriff.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
telling you about this us. Early.
Yeah, he's just a hippo guy,
he's
right?
a flying hippo. And one ability, he's four cost, colorless blue, green, white, I think. 4/4 body that has, for one white, you can give somebody two life and give the Feldegriff flying. For one green, you can create a hippo token for somebody and give him trample. And then for one blue, I don't remember the blue, but you let somebody draw a card. Oh, you return him to your hand.
Yeah.
So you can protect him, pop him back down. So the whole strategy is to just get everybody else to turn against each other. When someone starts losing, you start giving them life and hippos and cards. And you do that until everybody has basically killed each other. And then you and your hippo friend, the person you've been giving the most hippos to, is hopefully the other person alive. You figure out a way to turn all of those hippos against him and then just swing away.
Yeah.
What an interesting deck. And
it's
I love that the card is so weird. It's literally just like a fucking pink like hippo
pink
with wings.
Is it a silver bordered card?
No.
Oh wow.
No, it's legit. Yeah.
Oh man,
that's hilarious.
Is there like
so funny?
I'm really curious because there's all these weird fucking nerd names and stuff for all these cards. I never memorize the names. I don't know. Well, I do it for my commander, obviously. But is there like lore to this game? Like, are there like mm-hmm. fucking magic lore experts out there?
There is lore. So, like, the idea is that you are a planeswalker, and you're summoning things from different planes. So, like, I mean, we have, what are we in right now?
Ravnica?
Yeah, Ravnica is a plane. There's Amonkhet is a plane, and each plane kind of has its own theme.
So, like, the plane's kind of like a universe or whatever, kind of?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. But, yeah, and if you look at each, so not all cards, but a lot of them do have a little lore tab kind of on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Flavor text.
Yeah, that's what it's called, flavor text. So that's at the bottom, and you get a little bit more, because like there's cards that are literally called planeswalkers in there, and so usually there's a lot of mention of those, like throws their names in there, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Damn, they should have like a Magic TV show or something. That'd be kind of interesting. No, I don't know. I guess it's pretty irrelevant to the way that the game's played or whatever. I'm just very curious about, because there's all this, everything has weird names. There's all these weird lore. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't actually ever talked lore with anybody, so I don't know how much appeal that the lore of Magic has. I think more people are
interested
in the mechanics. I mean, you're playing a game that literally every card you put down changes the rules of the game. I think that's what makes it so dang fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever met anyone that's like, man, I play Magic for the lore.
I bet there's someone out there.
I'm sure there are. But
I guess it's kind of like theme decks. Like I have a Minotaur deck, and it's just fun because I'm like charging at you with half cow people.
Yeah,
I feel like this is a I don't want to say a relatively cheap hobby because it can get very expensive really quickly, but like, I don't know. It was pretty easy for me to jump in. I think I dropped like $20 on like a starter.
It definitely
like
has thing. A very low ceiling of entry, but it also gets very high. You could easily drop $10,000 on a deck.
Oh, that's
the
nuts.
Ceiling for competitive play is very high.
I mean,
we're lucky right now that we have a mono blue aggro that costs about between $30 and $50 that is actually viable in standard tournaments. But that's not usually the case.
Yeah.
Usually the average is around $200 for just a standard deck.
Yeah, and that's if you want to compete, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, if for fun, you could. For fun, I love the. Because you can make popper decks, which are basically no cards over $1. And so that's super
popper
fun.
Popper is only common.
Oh, only common. Okay. Which one's the ones that are over $1?
So penny is all cards have to be less than $1.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But that's not endorsed by Magic because they can't admit that there's an aftermarket for cards.
Yeah.
Otherwise, oh, really?
It's gambling. Yeah. It's a really weird loophole, but if they ever acknowledge that there is an aftermarket and that cards do have prices once they're opened, they suddenly are gambling instead of selling trading cards.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because one time I drew a card that was worth, like, what was it, like $30 or something? The little heart. And so I
saw... The Mox?
Yeah. And
yeah,
so
it's down to like $2.
Yeah,
now.
I sold it to the local shop for like some packs and stuff, just because like, oh cool, I don't need this card for anything, I'll get rid of it. And now it's super cheap. So there definitely is like a weird like aftermarket, like there's like, it's like stocks. They're like, oh, what's this card at today or whatever.
Oh yeah, people actually invest in Magic cards and they'll buy boxes at a time, like crates of boxes.
Yeah,
like 50 something boxes on a pallet and just let it sit in their garage until the price goes up. It's crazy.
Interesting. Oh no, what was I gonna say? Another thing that I think is kind of fun to do in Magic is that they have these new packs coming out or whatever, like it's like these new planes, whatever. And every time they do it, they have like these pre-release drafts. You know, you come in, you build really small decks, like 40 cards a deck. And you get, like, how many packs is that? Like, six?
You get six packs.
Yeah, you get six packs. You get a little die.
You get 30 minutes to make a deck.
Yeah, and these are super fun, and I want to talk about this dynamic a little bit. Because I've done, like, two of them. I don't know if you guys have done any more than that.
Yeah, I've done probably, like, four or five. Because they are kind of expensive. They're, like, I guess you get good value for how many
stuff
you get.
You're getting your money back. Plus, if you win, you get
you
extra
get
packs
more
on top
packs.
Of that.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be more expensive to buy six packs anyways? What is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
it'd be $20
in the shop. Yeah.
So, how much is it at Heroes Welcome? It's got to be.
I think
like
you get three
bucks.
For ten, don't you?
Yeah, it's three for ten. But how much is the pre-release?
$20.
Yeah, so it's the same exact price. Oh, plus, you get a promo card.
You get a
die.
Yeah.
And then you can win more packs.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a really sick die at the last one. It's like it's like dark black, and all the numbers are like this like kind of glowy green. It looks pretty sweet.
The Golgari die, right?
Yeah.
So the last one we went to was Ravnica's pre-release.
Yeah.
That was a fun one because they had all the different guilds for each pre-release.
Yeah, and so I was going to get into that. So you get to choose the guilds. So basically whatever two combinations of colors you get to choose. And I chose also Golgari, which I regretted because I just didn't even make a Golgari deck. And I ended up making a Boros deck, which actually did really well for me. I think I only lost against you, didn't I? Or no, I lost against like the 10-year-old. That was really good.
Yeah. No, yeah. And so that was fun. And then I ended up having to play this little 10-year-old kid. And this kid was prepared.
Yeah.
He said that was like the third draft he went to this weekend or whatever. Like he had been there for all of them. And this kid just whooped my ass.
Yeah, he's really good.
And so it's just funny like getting to play with all these people that are most of the time much better at the game than I am. I think I made a Golgari deck. It was based around I think the card was like Ithaca or something. I don't know. Anyways, it was a black green. It revolved around like putting out little monsters, getting them killed, putting them in the graveyard, and then I got to do some stuff. And so when I was playing against this 10-year-old, I actually had this really fucking crazy thing happen. I was down to one health. I had there was nothing on the board that was going to help me. I drew a card that was, I don't remember what it was called, and it had Undergrowth. And when I played it, it did one damage to the opponent for every single creature I had in my graveyard. We were very deep into the game. And so I ended up just one-shotting this kid. This kid was 10. He didn't seem particularly happy that it had happened.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, oh, fuck you, kid, or whatever. I'm not rubbing it in this kid's face. But I was like, man, what a lucky thing that happened. Remember when Yu-Gi-Oh? We used to watch Yu-Gi-Oh, and he'd be like, oh, it's in the luck of the draw of the cards. Yeah, it's in the heart of the cards or whatever, and you do that weird thing.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt. I was like, oh, yeah.
It's in the heart of the cards.
I was like, the cards really came through for me this time.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a funny thing because it has literally nothing to do with Magic, but just because of the TV show, like, my brother and I will just throw in so many references. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're about to lose, we call it pulling a Yu-Gi-Oh! If you do actually pull, like, an insane card that just helps you either come back or win.
When you top deck?
Yeah, if you top deck. So it's like, so you, the other person will usually just start screaming Yu-Gi-Oh! Hoping that the next card will be the card that they need.
Have you ever went back? That show went on Netflix like a couple years ago, and I was like, oh man, I really loved Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day. There's actually a picture of me dressing up as like Yugi for Halloween, and I had like this big plastic hair. I'll show you guys after the show. I had this big plastic hair thing on. I had the whole blue suit and the fucking giant pyramid that hung around us. I was like, who let me dress up like this?
I think you just sent me that picture so I could put it up with the podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great idea. Anyways, but I went and I was like, man, I loved this show as a kid. So I watched the first episode and I was like, oh, it's so bad. How did I not know? Like, how did we watch these things as kids? Like, yeah, this is
I was like into Yu-Gi-Oh for a long time.
Yeah.
Because it was always on WB on Saturday morning. And then obviously I like turned like 12 or something and stopped watching it.
Eric,
and then,
that show was so corny. I watched it and every line is just it's so bad. And it's so clearly just marketing for the card. Like, they made this entire show just to market these fucking cards.
Yeah.
And if a card was cool on the show that like made it like a better card to get or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, the whole Blue Eyes White Dragon. There was that emo dude with the emo hair.
Kaiba.
Yeah, yeah. And he had the Blue Eyes White Dragon or whatever, which is also a meme now. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know how we got on this Yu-Gi-Oh tangent, but like, man, that show. Bryce, did you watch Yu-Gi-Oh back in the day?
No.
so you're probably a little lost. Anyways,
oh, I'm very lost.
So I feel like Magic has also kind of spurred a bunch of like spin-off type games.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I assume that Yu-Gi-Oh is kind of based on Magic. My assumption would be.
Yeah, I believe Yu-Gi-Oh came after Magic.
Yeah, Pokemon did too, I think.
Yeah, Pokemon is very similar. Like literally, straight rips off some of the mechanics of Magic.
Yeah, they're very. I mean, trading card games kind of took the exact route that Magic took after they figured stuff out through their alpha beta, and then suddenly it works.
Yeah,
and it's fun, and it's been around for how long now, like 25 years?
It started in 1993, I think. I was doing some research. Did you guys know that Magic was invented by a doctoral candidate for like it was for shit, what was it called, computing mathematics?
I believe it.
Yeah, yeah. So like he originally wanted to make a board game, and so he approached Wizards of the Coast, which is like the parent company or whatever, the people who make the Magic game, and they were like, nah, fuck your board game, we want something cheap that's like cheap to produce and like people like can take on the go and stuff. And so he made this game, and it was very simple in the beginning, but it like took off, yada yada, blast, huge hit, and I feel like it spurred a lot of spinoffs and stuff. And now you're seeing like digital games like Hearthstone. I feel like is very clearly inspired by Magic.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different mechanics, whatever, it plays very differently, but, like, I feel like...
it shares a lot of mechanics, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the rush, haste, charge, and all that crap.
Because I actually had played... I was really into Hearthstone as a teen, in my teen years during high school. I played on my iPad when it came to iPad. And... What? Anyways.
You're just dating yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not that old. I'm only 20, you know what I mean? Anyways, and so I had previous experience with, like, card games. And the biggest, like, wrench in the gears for me when I started playing Magic was the whole land thing that you had to, like, I don't know, because, you know, in Hearthstone, your mana just builds automatically. You get the one mana turn, whatever. You don't have to worry. I feel you don't have to worry as much about, like, that. So that was
so the, then you go and create a deck entirely based around.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, look at this.
Need more land.
Look at this fun new mechanic that I have to play
Wonder
with.
What Logan's doing this turn. More land.
Yeah. I feel like your next stage in Magic is going to be making decks that just don't even use land.
Yeah, I'm a little sick of it, actually. Like, because like I said, my commander is so complicated that and all my turns take like fucking 45 minutes, I think, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this to draw 36 cards to see if I can find something.
Yeah, when we're in big group games, I hate when it's your turn.
Yeah, it's the worst. That's why I just want to build a more straightforward deck. I don't know. And I know that's not how you win, but I feel like it'd be more fun for me.
Poor Anton, though.
Yeah,
his deck is the least complicated out of our whole group. So he just plays one card, passes the turn, and then waits for the next person to finish their 20-minute turn.
Yeah.
Sometimes in group games, it really is like in your favor to be bad. Because that was, I won a bunch of games when we first started playing because no one fucking cared about. Because we
just
ignore
you. Bryce and I would just go after each other, and so you'd be in the sidelines, and then you just take out whoever's left standing.
And that's how Anton won that last game, is that ended up being us, because I had just managed to like survive for so long.
Yeah,
I just had stuff on the board, and no one gave a shit about Anton until he became indestructible. Because
he just kept playing defenders, and they're not gonna attack you. So
yeah, I was ignoring him because everybody else wanted to gang up on me.
Well, yeah, because your deck's annoying.
Attacking everyone.
That's because I killed everybody, too. Yeah. I killed everybody except Anton.
Yeah.
And
well, I guess, yeah.
I survived.
Are you still alive?
Yeah. Everyone, and we were playing at this bar, or like, whatever, the Raw Deal. It's a coffee shop, bar, whatever you want to call it.
Coffee shop that serves beer.
Yeah, okay. Coffee beer shop. Coffee bar.
It's a beer shop.
Coffee bar.
Coffee bar. Anyways. And so literally everyone had left, and like Anton and I were just finishing this game for like 25 minutes.
Well, we were only supposed to be there for like an hour and a half is what we thought this was going to take. It ended up being like 30 hours. So everyone just like, I got things to do.
Yeah. And yeah, but you know, I wanted to win.
I gotta sleep tonight.
Yeah. So yeah. Magic, fun game. I'm into it. Like I said, I want to get more into it, play some stuff. I wish it could be simpler. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of things.
It's fun because it's complicated.
Yeah,
though.
But then I have to. That's,
you
I
can
just,
make a simpler deck.
Yeah, but I'm going to lose.
No, not necessarily.
Run, I'm telling you, run that mono blue aggro I was talking about. It's literally just cheap creatures, bunch of card draw, and you swing away. That's all you do.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's weird, too, because blue is not a. I mean, it's like a.
It's not typically aggro.
Yeah, it's kind of like a counter stuff. You know what I mean? It usually revolves around spells.
Board control.
It's interesting. I'll look into that. Is that like a regular deck, or is it
that's
it's
not a standard deck?
Oh, it's a standard deck.
Well, if you want commander, I mean, there is aggro commanders. You could run Boros, which is pretty simple color combination, but you're gonna have no card draw. I don't know. It's
could run Shu Yun, just one punch man. He's really easy.
It's pretty simple.
That does sound kind of well. The whole point is that like what is it? He's like indestructible or something.
He's a hexproof, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and so you just keep buffing him, and no one can really get rid of him.
I'm pretty sure you like draw cards or something when you. There's a way that he synergizes with enchantments, so you just pump him full of enchantments and then swing away, and no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, and you just hit him once and they're dead.
Interesting. I like that I call it One Punch Man.
Well, yeah, because you literally hit him once.
I've only seen one
and
episode.
He's a monk.
I've only seen one episode of that show, and it seems cool, and I should watch more.
It's hilarious. One Punch Man's a great anime.
Any other animes you wanna plug?
Well, if you like One Punch Man, Mob Psycho 100's made by the same people. That's also very good.
This has nothing to do with that one, but that Castlevania Netflix series, Adi Shankar
right
one,
yeah.
Great, super good. I don't know if the second season's out yet.
It is.
Oh,
I just started. Oh, yeah. I'm on the first episode of the second season right now.
You should watch this Castlevania Netflix series.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
it's very beautifully animated.
Have you watched My Hero Academia yet?
No, I haven't.
That's awesome.
Is there a dub? I know I'm like what I'm.
Yeah, there's a dub on Hulu, isn't
it? Yeah, but I don't know if the whole thing is dubbed.
All right.
I'm not sure if the latest season is. Because I know that I'm watching Tokyo Ghoul right now, and the first season is dubbed, but then the second is subbed. So.
I know a lot of anime fans are probably going to, like, if they heard this, shit on me a little bit.
No,
everyone's like, oh, whatever, you know what I mean? You got to watch the sub, watch it in Japanese. And I have no, you know what? It's fine. I'm sure that's the better way to do it, but I don't want to read
it
those fucking subtitles. You know what I mean?
I watch subbed, and I've also watched dubbed. I don't care what the big debate is about.
I just don't.
Sometimes I feel like it's the voice acting that does it for me. If they don't have good voice actors for the dubbed version, then it just kind of takes away from the show. The original voice acting is sometimes better. But then there's also sometimes when it's like, wow, these American voice actors are doing great.
But how can you really tell that the voice acting in Japanese is better? Like, I don't know what they're saying, man. I mean, I guess you can tell from like the inflections and their voice, stuff like that. Like,
exactly.
You get the gist, but I don't know. I just feel like you're
there's emotion in the voice. Like, sometimes if you got a bad voice actor, especially in English, it's just going to be annoying, right? Mm. So you'd almost rather read the subtitles and hear some kind of emotional inflection in Japanese.
All right, that's fair. I mean, I've only really ever watched like the dub of Death Note, and I thought that was great. I mean, the voice acting there was, I thought, pretty stellar.
I watched subbed, so I don't know.
Nerd. Weeb. Anyways, Bryce, you got anything else you want to say about Magic the Gathering? Any tips for newcomers, anything to bring people into the game?
Start playing. Play with people, and don't be afraid to ask for help, definitely. Look online, too. Look up budget decks you can find and just get into the game, I guess.
Yeah. As a former person who was like, yeah, Magic's for nerds, it's really fun. It's a really good social time. It's a good excuse to just get together and, like, hang out, whatever.
Also, quick note. The only reason Bryce and I are friends is because he was looking at Magic cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, because I guess we kind of started talking about it at the paper. Like, I feel like that's kind of how
it went. So I got hired here, and it was, like, my first production night, and we just sit here. When you're an editor, you just sit here for a while the designers are doing their thing, and Bryce was just chilling, looking at, I don't even know what website, but just looking through Magic cards.
I think. I was trying to make my mono blue commander.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, oh, you play Magic? And then the rest is history.
Yeah, and then you guys roped me into it, and that's the reason this podcast has started. So really, I think we have
Magic the Gathering
to thank for everything. So thank you, Magic. I appreciate you. Anyways, Bryce, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course.
If you ever want to come back with a real game, you're welcome to.
real game. You're the one playing virtual games.
After we just said Magic's the whole reason for all of this, come back with a real game.
But if you want to come back with a real game, you're welcome on the show. Everyone, thank you for listening. This has been the Generic Gaming Podcast at MP3. Catch next week's episode when Christopher Walken comes on the show. We love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a great one.